Hello, good morning. It is 8:22 a.m. Tuesday, December 29th, I believe. I haven't checked. Let's see. Is it December 29th? I don't have a calendar on this computer. Yeah, it's December 29th. That's beautiful. Okay, two more days until New Year's Eve, and then 3 days until 2021. But, anywho, actually 5 days until football. No, 6 days. No, five. I'm a little bad at the math. So, you know what this episode is. It's the recap. Week 17 preview. Week 16 recap. And so, let's just get into it. Let's start off with the Christmas game. New Orleans crushes Minnesota 52-33. You probably heard about this game because Alvin Kamara ran for six touchdowns, six to tie an NFL record. He was 22 carries, 155 yards, and six touchdowns. He could have had eight touchdowns because they brought in Taysom Hill at the end of the game to just run the ball in, and he did. So Alvin Kamara could have done that. And then in like the second quarter, they were at like the 3 yard line, and instead of just it was fourth down, instead of like going for it, at the time the score was like 17-14 or 17-7. And they just decided to kick a field goal. Also, that play, that could have been a touchdown. So Alvin Kamara could have had eight touchdowns in a single football game, but that is not what happened. Final score 52-33. New Orleans is now 11-4. The Saturday games, there were three Saturday games because that's what the NFL likes to do. The first one, close to my heart, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Detroit Lions 47-7. The only score by the Lions was on a Jamal Agnew 71-yard punt return touchdown in the third quarter. That was it. Matthew Stafford went out in the first quarter. Chase Daniel came in. He was bad. He only threw for 86 yards. He got benched for David Blough, number 10, who's the third string quarterback, and he couldn't do anything either. No one, the Buccaneers benched Tom Brady at halftime because they were ahead 34-0, and they didn't want to beat the Lions by like 75 or whatever. Tom Brady, in one half of football, finished 22 of 27, 348 yards, and four touchdowns. 348 yards in one half against the Detroit Lions, who weren't playing for anything. They don't have anything to play for. Mike Evans caught two touchdowns. Blaine Gabbert came in and threw a touchdown threw two touchdowns in the third quarter, and then nobody scored in the fourth. So at least they scored one. I was watching the game because this is the second of two times I can watch the Lions all year, my favorite team. Other one is on Thanksgiving, and they lost like 41-25 on that one as well. This game could have been like a high-scoring affair, but Matthew Stafford got hurt. Next game, I talked about this one already. I have a special episode. The 49ers beat the Cardinals 20-12. 49ers don't have anything to play for. They're eliminated from the playoffs. CJ Beathard got the start for Nick Mullins and Jimmy Garoppolo. Both of them were out with injuries. Oh my goodness, am I gonna sneeze? No. Oh no. Okay. CJ Beathard threw for three touchdowns, two of them to Kyle Juszczyk, one to Jeff Wilson. Jeff Wilson Jr. also ran for 183 yards to set a record for the 49ers in the last like 5 years. He ran for the most yards, 22 carries. Calamari threw a pick. He had a really bad game. Then he got hurt at the end. George Kittle returned. He had four catches and 92 yards. 49ers get the win. They're just messing around with the Cardinals now. Then the final Saturday game, probably the best game, Miami beats Las Vegas 26-25. Everybody's been talking about this one because Tua got benched in the fourth quarter, brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick with his big beard, and he led the game-winning drive down the field. If you haven't seen the play yet, there was a pass that for 34 yards to Mac Hollins with about 20 seconds left where he threw the ball for 34 yards, but what happened was that a Raiders defender grabbed his face mask, and his face was literally not looking down the field. He was looking over to the side or behind him, actually, because his face mask had gotten pulled. So he completes the pass, and he also got another 15 yards on the call. So probably the pass of the season, and now that sparked a big quarterback controversy in Miami because Tua got benched. The Dolphins won the game on a game-winning field goal by Jason Sanders. The Raiders had one more chance, and they just didn't do anything. Also, Nelson Agholor with an 85-yard touchdown catch, the longest of the season, also in the fourth quarter. But the Raiders missed the extra point, which allowed the Dolphins to get the ball back and win the game. So, very interesting game. Miles Gaskin caught two touchdowns, 82 yards. One, a 59-yard touchdown that he was weaving all over the place. Nice play. And the Raiders, they got eliminated from playoff contention. Miami's now 10-5. The Sunday regularly scheduled games, Baltimore beats the Giants 27-13. The Giants pretty much eliminated from playoff contention. They have to win this week against the Dallas Cowboys, and the Washington football team has to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles, which seems pretty unlikely right now, considering how heated up the Dallas Cowboys are and how bad the Giants have been. Daniel Jones, 252 yards and a touchdown. Lamar Jackson, 3-for-2 touchdowns. Wayne Gallman, 27 yards on 6 carries, so he's kind of, his hype has kind of fallen off. Gus Edwards, 85 yards. It was kind of the most boring game of the day, besides, or the least exciting. Like, on NFL Red Zone, this was the one game that they weren't showing or weren't even talking about. But, yeah, whatever. Baltimore is now 10-5. The next game, Cincinnati, who's on a hot streak. This is the first of two teams on hot streaks that I'll be talking about. Cincinnati gets the win 37-31 over the Houston Texans. Cincinnati's now 4-10-1. Houston, who's completely fallen apart, you know, 4-11. Deshaun Watson, 324 yards and 3 touchdowns. Brandon Allen, 371 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't know. You know what I was kind of wondering about? Where's Ryan Finley? He was that guy that got the start against the Pittsburgh Steelers a couple weeks ago. Then I didn't hear about Brandon Allen being hurt. So it's a little curious to see what happened there. Because Ryan Finley, I mean, he didn't really throw the ball at all. He's not really a guy that throws the ball that much. But Brandon Allen had a better game than Ryan Finley did in this game. He threw for 371 yards and 2 touchdowns. Samaj Perine, who has the most rushing yards in a single game in college football history. He threw in for like 400 yards in his time at Oklahoma. Maybe it was Oklahoma State. I think it was Oklahoma. But he's now on the Cincinnati Bengals. He's bounced around for a couple teams. He ran for 2 touchdowns. David Johnson, 1 touchdown and 128 yards. Brandon Cooks with a long touchdown. He had 141 yards. This was a pretty exciting game, actually. It came down to a Hail Mary at the end, but it didn't matter because the game was over. The Texans attempted a Hail Mary, but it didn't get caught. Chicago and Jacksonville. Jacksonville clinched the number one spot in the draft next year. They will probably draft Trevor Lawrence, presumably. Mike Glennon, 2 picks, 2 touchdowns. Chicago gets the win 41-17. Jacksonville's on 1-14. Chicago's 8-7. They can clinch a playoff spot this week if they get a couple wins and stuff happens. Allen Robinson, 103 yards. Mitch Trubisky, who turned his season around. He was benched at one point for Nick Foles. Now Nick Foles, who got hurt, and Mitch Trubisky took advantage of that. And now Mitch Trubisky is having a good season. Chicago, again, they win 41-17. My goodness, they put up 21 points in the third, while Jacksonville put up 0. Atlanta and Kansas City. Kansas City gets the win 17-14 to clinch the AFC number one spot. They are now 14-1. Matt Ryan, not Rat Mayan, but whatever. 300 yards exactly, 2 touchdowns. This game was very exciting. Right at the end, Younghoe Koo from 39 yards, he was a Pro Bowl kicker, and he's been extremely accurate all season, but he cannot hit. He missed wide right, so Kansas City gets the win. They took advantage. Atlanta is just losing all these games. Sad Atlanta Falcons. Here's something interesting. Ito Smith and Damian Williams both ran for exactly 46 yards, and they both had 10 carries, so they both averaged 4.6 yards a carry. The Jets, they get a win over the Cleveland Browns 23-16. This is 2 wins in a row for the New York Jets. I'm not really sure how much you can take out of this. Baker Mayfield was terrible. 28-50, 285 yards, no picks, no touchdowns. He did not have a wide receiver core. his wide receivers were two practice squad guys and former Lion Marvin Hall, who had not played in a game. He'd been in an act. He actually got waived by the Lions a couple weeks ago in like week 11 or so. He was claimed by the Browns and he'd been inactive for like three straight weeks. Uh-oh, sneeze. Oh my goodness, this is painful. No sneezes today. Cleveland, so they lose their 10-5. The Jets are now 2-13, so they have locked into the number two spot. It's just the Jets to not get the fail at getting the number one spot. But I mean, it's nice to see them get a win at least, because no one really wants to see an 0-16 team. That's no fun. Cleveland gets the loss. Baker Mayfield tried to sneak the ball over on 4th and 1 from about the 15-yard line. At the end of the game with about 10 seconds left, he fumbled the ball picked up by the Jets, and the Jets won the game because Baker Mayfield dropped the ball. So, Jets get the win. Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. Pittsburgh gets off of their bad 3-game losing streak, including losses to the Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Washington football team. And then they pull off a win against the Indianapolis Colts, a good team, 28-24. Ben Roethlisberger, 342 yards, 3 touchdowns. Good game for him. James Conner ran for a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster stopped dancing on the logo and had a decent game. 9 catches, a touchdown, 96 yards. This game was a big comeback for the Steelers. They were down 24-14 heading into the fourth quarter, and they scored 2 touchdowns while holding the Colts to none, and they won the game. Carolina and Washington, this was a talked about game because Dwayne Haskins, the couple days before, he was seen at a strip club and he got stripped of his, he was a captain on the team, he was removed from being a captain, and he had a bad game. Carolina gets the win of the Ron Rivera Bowl. Ron Rivera makes his return I guess it was in Washington, so he just made his return to playing or coaching against the Carolina Panthers. But Carolina gets the win 20-13. Both quarterbacks are pretty bad. Dwayne Haskins, 2 picks, and then after the game, he got cut because the Washington football team doesn't want that sort of distraction. Taylor Heinicke, former Carolina Panthers, so there were Carolina Panthers all over the field. Former Carolina Panthers, I should say. All over the field for the Washington football team. He relieved Dwayne Haskins, and now Dwayne Haskins is a free agent. Okay. Excuse me, my nose is very runny today. I know Corona. The Panthers were up 20-3 at halftime, and the only touchdown came on a long J.D. McKissick touchdown right in like pretty much garbage time at the end. Denver and the Chargers get the win 19-16. This was not really talked about that much, but it still was an all right game. Justin Herbert, who's kind of slowed down from his hot pace, he threw for a touchdown, 253 yards. No one really had that notable of a game. Melvin Gordon returned to Los Angeles for the first time, and he had a pretty quiet game, 79 yards, no touchdowns. Chargers get the win 19-16. Denver drops to 5-10. Chargers now 6-9. The Chargers don't really feel like a 6-9 team. They feel like they should be better than that, or even just maybe 7-8. I feel like they should be competing for a playoff spot, or just barely outside, not completely outside. Someone named S. Anderson led the receiving for the Chargers. I don't know who that is. Let's see, who is S. Anderson? Will it tell me who S. Anderson? Stephen Anderson, who is... He is out of Cal. He played there from 2011 to 2015. Then he was... I presume he... Was he drafted? Let's see here. Nothing about his drafting, but he started his career with Houston in 2016 to 2018. He's the tight end. Then in 2019, well, actually, he only played in 2016 and 2017. He didn't actually play in any games in 2018 or 2019. 2019, I presume he was on the New England Patriots practice squad, but he didn't play anything. And then this year, he's played in 15 games, 2 games started for the Chargers. I presume he's mostly a special teamer. Let's see here. How are his snap counts? Let's see, Stephen Anderson. Never heard of him. STP. Steven Anderson. See here. He's had a pretty quiet career. Yeah, he's barely played at all. He led the way in the receiving for the Chargers. His other start came in week 11 against the Jets, and he played 6 snaps, that's it. And then he's mostly a special teamer, but he occasionally plays. He played in one game last year for the Chargers. Let's see here. What happened? Where did he... He was waived and then cut, so he was on the practice squad last year for the Chargers and got cut. Then they signed him to a reserve future contract in the offseason. So let's get off the rabbit hole about Steven Anderson, Cal tight end, Chargers tight end. So let's move into another game. Seattle gets the win 20-9 over the Los Angeles Rams. Seattle's now 11-4. Rams, it was kind of hyped up as supposed to be a better game. Very low scoring. It was 6-6 at halftime. Jared Goff broke his thumb, dislocated his thumb, and then he'll be out next week. He had surgery yesterday. He threw for 234 yards. Not a very good game. Daryl Henderson, 62 yards, and then he also had an injury. He was placed on IR, so he'll be out for probably the playoffs. Chris Carson, not a very good game. No one really had that exciting of a game. This was a pretty boring game. It was more of a defensive battle. The Seahawks defense has improved greatly ever since Carlos Dunlap was acquired from Cincinnati in like week 5 or so. Dallas and Philadelphia. Dallas gets the win 37-17 over the slumping Philadelphia Eagles. The Cowboys, they're trying to get into that playoff spot. They're trying to win the NFC East, because that's the only way you're going to get into playoffs. And, oh yeah, also, it was confirmed that the winner with the Washington loss it is confirmed that the winner of the NFC East will have a losing record this year. So that'll be the third time in NFL history that it has happened, that a playoff team and the winner of the division has a losing record. Michael Gallup caught 2 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb with a 55-yard touchdown. Jalen Hurts, 2 picks and a touchdown. He had not a very good game. I mean, he threw for 342 yards. So that's all right. Andy Dalton, 3 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts also led the way in the running, 69 yards. Ezekiel Elliott, 105 yards on 19 carries. So that's probably his best game in a very long time. Dallas gets to win 37-17. Green Bay and Tennessee, and it was snowing in Green Bay. Green Bay gets the win 40-14. Ryan Tannehill, 45-yard touchdown run in the third quarter. That was most of the scoring. Jonnu Smith caught the other touchdown for the Titans. They're 10-5. Green Bay is now 12-3. This is on Sunday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers, 231 yards, 4 touchdowns. 3 of them went to Devontae Adams. A.J. Dillon, who came in for Aaron Jones, who was shooken up, he ran for 124 yards and 2 touchdowns. So scoring all over the place. Extra points, kicks were missed. Extra points were missed. And there were some controversial calls. It was an interesting game. I was watching it. I just couldn't finish the whole thing because it was getting late. And then the Monday night game, this was yesterday, Buffalo. They had already clinched the AFC East, but they just stick it to the Patriots by beating them 38-9. Here's something a little bit sad. The leading passer for the Patriots was Jarrett Stidham, who was 4 of 11 for 44 yards. That's how bad the Patriots have been. Josh Allen, 4 touchdowns, 320 yards. He was replaced by Matt Barkley and just given rest because the Bills don't really have much to play for besides getting the number 1 or number 2 seed locked up in the AFC. They can do it. I'll talk about that. I have my list of playoff things that like have to happen for a team to clinch a playoff berth or clinch their division or whatever. Stephon Diggs, 3 touchdown catches. He's winning fantasy football championships. Zach Moss also ran for a touchdown. Buffalo gets to win 38-9. They're 12-3. New England is now 6-9. That's a little sad. So that'll wrap up the week 16 recap, and now we get into week 17 preview. Ooh. See, I'm gonna put on my cat hat. I cut my hair yesterday, so I'm not, I used to have, not, I wouldn't say long hair, I just had kind of ugly hair, but now my hair is more normal, So the games, they're all divisional games, as they are in Week 17. Miami and Buffalo. I'm going to predict Miami gets this win because Buffalo, they already beat the Steelers this year. And if they lose to the Dolphins this week, then they will have the number 3 seed and the Steelers will have the number 2 seed. So the Steelers will so the Bills will play the Steelers in Pittsburgh for, or if... Actually, no, that's not right. But whatever. Never mind. I'm a little slow right there. Miami needs to win to clinch a playoff spot, or they want to win at least, because they have to get, if they win and then, or if the Browns, Ravens, or Colts, if any of them lose, then Miami is already clinched. So it's probably going to happen that one of them is going to lose. I'm going to go with Miami in this one because Buffalo, the number 2 and number 3 seed, that isn't really important because either way you're going to, the number 2 seed is going to face the number 7, which is probably going to be probably Baltimore or maybe Cleveland, either Baltimore or Cleveland, but that's that'll be just probably be the Steelers if the Brown if that'll be the Steelers if the Bills lose, and the number 6 seed will either be the probably be the Ravens, I predict, because Pittsburgh's probably going to win, but over the Browns. So I think that Baltimore is probably going to face Buffalo in the playoffs, and it's a number 3 versus number 6. That's not that big of a difference between either Baltimore or Cleveland. So the next game goes right into that. Baltimore playing Cincinnati in Cincinnati. I'm going to go with Baltimore in this one because they really want to win to clinch their playoff spot. Cincinnati doesn't really have anything to play for besides like just going up and down the draft order, so... Baltimore, that is a prediction. Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in this one. Pittsburgh, a win and a Buffalo loss will give the Steelers the number 2 seed. And Cleveland wants to win the clinch. But I think that the Steelers are more into getting the number 2 seed than getting the number 3 seed because they don't really want to play a divisional opponent. But it's probably going to happen anywho because Baltimore and Cleveland are probably going to be the 6-7 seed. Cleveland, if they lose, then they're knocked out, I'm pretty sure. Let's see, the playoff picture currently is NFL playoff picture. Excuse me again. I'm very sniffly. So currently there are 4 playoff berths available. Currently it is the Titans who are going to be playing the Titans play the Texans. That's probably a win. Then Miami is number 5. 6 is Baltimore. 7 is the Browns. And then the Colts are outside looking in. So one of them, I predict that the Browns are probably going to lose and then they'll be knocked out. Colts are going to get in. And the Bills, they're 12-3. Both the Steelers and the Bills are 12-3. But the Bills have the tiebreaker over them because they beat the Steelers in Week 15. Minnesota and Detroit, neither team has anything to play for, but I'm going to go with Minnesota because I just saw what the Detroit Lions are playing like, and if they're going to lose 47-7 to the Tampa Buccaneers, I have no hope that they're going to probably beat the Minnesota Vikings. So Minnesota is the pick. The Jets and the Patriots, neither team has anything to play for besides, they don't really have any, the Jets are locked in the number 2 seed, but I think the Jets will win this one. I think that now that they've won 2 in a row, why not just make it 3? So the Patriots, they don't have anything to play for. They're just kind of look all right. 7-9 looks better than 6-10. But anyway, I still think that the Jets are going to get the win. Dallas and the Giants, this is a fun game. Dallas has to win and Washington has to lose too. So both of them are hoping that Washington loses to Philadelphia on the Sunday night game. And both of them want to win or need to win to get into the playoffs, because that's the only way to get into the playoffs is if you win the NFC East, because no one else is going to, you're not going to get like a wild card team from there. All those teams suck. But both teams are hoping for a Washington loss and both teams are hoping for a win. But I think that Dallas will get the win today, or in this matchup actually, because it's not going to happen exactly today. But I think that the Dallas Cowboys are going to win this game because they've been on a hot streak. They've been putting up a lot of points. The Giants defense is not doing as good as before. They're giving up big games, and the Cowboys, I think they're going to get the win. Atlanta and Tampa Bay, neither team has anything to play for. Atlanta's already eliminated, and Tampa Bay doesn't really have to do it much right now. And they're kind of just, they're kind of locked into that number five, and the, so they're kind of, they're not going to go up or down with a loss or a win. I mean, they can still, they probably can still drop a little bit if they, because the Rams have the tiebreaker over them, so if the Rams, because that's like the only team, but the Rams are playing the Cardinals and the Buccaneers are playing the Falcons, so I predict the Buccaneers are going to win, or the Buccaneers are going to win this game. Falcons, they're not looking too good. The Falcons, they're losing. They lost actually just last, or 2 weeks ago, to the Buccaneers in Atlanta, but I'm going to go with Tampa Bay to get the win again. Green Bay and Chicago, a Green Bay win will secure the NFC bye, the number one seed in the NFC, and if Chicago gets a win, then they clinch the a playoff spot, the number seven seed, probably the final seed, if, because they're kind of, they don't really have to watch any other game if they win the game. But I'm going to go with Green Bay in this one because they really want to get that number one seed. This is a 1:25 game, so that's kind of a weird start time for a game that's kind of sort of like east of the middle of the country. So there's a couple of weird start times. Like New Orleans in Carolina, they're starting at 1:25. That's like a night game over there. And then Tennessee and Houston, that also starts at 1:25. And then the, I mean, whatever, actually. There isn't that, those weird start times, but those are like playoff implication games. Jacksonville, I skipped one. Las Vegas and Denver. I can go with the Vegas Raiders in this one because neither team has anything to play for, and the Broncos suck. So the Raiders, they want to finish at like a all right record. Right now, the Raiders, I believe they're 7-8. Yes, they are. So they want to finish 8-8 because they back-to-back years, John Gruden as the head coach, and they've blown big leads in the division, or blown big leads in the playoff. Last year, they lost 6 in a row to end the season. This year, they blew a playoff berth. I don't know how many games they've lost in a row, but they've definitely struggled a bunch. Jacksonville and Indianapolis. I'm going to go with Indianapolis in this one for obvious reasons. Jacksonville is bad. The Colts, they have two possible situations. They can clinch the AFC South, or they can both clinch. They can clinch a playoff spot. But if the Jaguars win, then they will be eliminated from playoff contention. They won't win. They won't clinch the AFC South. So if they lose, then they're out. But if they win, which I think that'll happen, then they have to hope for a Tennessee loss to clinch the AFC South, and then they. If they win and Baltimore, one of the three of Baltimore, Cleveland, or Miami, if any of them lose, then they also clinch a playoff spot. So it's looking like they're probably going to be clinching a playoff spot, but probably not the division because Tennessee's playing Houston, and that looks like a win right there. Chargers and the Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Chargers in this one because the Chiefs, they're going to be they've already clinched the AFC number one spot. And the Chargers, they don't really have anything to play for. The Chiefs, they're going to have all their backups playing. So you're going to see Chad Henne, who former Jaguars quarterback in like 2013 or so, who's now still in the NFL as a Chiefs backup. Best you didn't know that. But there's going to probably be like Darwin Thompson getting the start at running back. You're probably going to see a lot of backup guys. Byron Pringle, wide receiver, stuff like that.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry you have to hear all those sounds. So, the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Rams, this is a fun game because if either wins, then they clinch a playoff spot. So, an Arizona win will get them a playoff spot because they will be 9-7 and the Rams will be 9-7 as well. But if the Rams win and Arizona loses, then Arizona's eliminated. Los Angeles, they're eliminated if the Bears win and the Cardinals beat them. So the Rams have to hope for a win or a Chicago loss to clinch a playoff spot. So if they lose and Chicago wins, that'll be a problem. But I think that the Cardinals are going to get this win. But I also think that Chicago is going to lose. So the Rams are probably, Rams and Cardinals probably are actually both going to clinch in this game, because this game starts at 1:25, so they'll already, actually no, they won't know, because the Packers and the Bears, they're playing at the same time. I was assuming that this game, that the Packers and Bears played at 10, so that the Rams or Cardinals would both know if the Rams will know if they have anything to play for, and the Cardinals will know if they have if they should try as hard as they can. But now that the game happens at the same time, now it's just going to be a hard fought, fun game. But I think I can go with Arizona in that one. Actually, by the way, I forgot to say that, but I think I said that. Seattle and San Francisco, this is going to be in Arizona because San Francisco can't play in their home stadium like usual. I'm going to go Seattle in this one because they're really wanting to get that number one seed. A Seattle win and a Green Bay and a New Orleans loss, so both Green Bay and New Orleans have to lose, and Seattle has to win, and then the Seahawks will have the number one seed. So I'm going to go Seattle in this one. 49ers don't really think to play for. They're 6-9, so 6-10 looks like a proper record for them. New Orleans and Carolina, I'm going to go with New Orleans, because New Orleans, if they win and Green Bay and Seattle both lose, then they'll get the number one seed, but it's looking kind of unlikely that Green Bay and Seattle are both going to lose. This is fun because all three of the Green Bay, Seattle, and New Orleans games are all at the same time, so no one will know who's going to clinch the number one seed until after the game. Carolina doesn't have anything to play for. This game was in Carolina, so I think New Orleans is going to get that win. Tennessee and Houston, I'm going to go with Tennessee in this one. Texans, they're falling apart. They have actually, they're similar to the Colts, because they win, if they win or Indianapolis loses, then Tennessee is clinching the AFC South. Then a Baltimore loss or a Miami loss clinches a playoff spot. So if the Titans lose and the Colts win, then they're not going to get the AFC South. And if Baltimore wins and Miami wins, then that's an issue, because Tennessee could get bounced from the playoffs, from a playoff spot. But I think that Tennessee will get the win in this one. Houston doesn't have anything to play for. The Sunday night game, this is probably the best game that everybody's been talking about, because if Washington wins and they clinch the NFC East, if they don't, then it'll be either the Giants, or it'll probably be the Cowboys or the Giants, but those two are playing each other, so it'll probably be the Cowboys. But Washington and Philadelphia, in Philadelphia, I'm going to go with Washington because they want to win the NFC East. Philadelphia doesn't have anything to play for. They're a terrible team. They are losing to everybody. So with that said, this will wrap it up. Actually, last week, I should say how I did in my last week. I finished 10-6, so overall my record is a very nice 108-69. That's a very nice winning percentage. I'll say, what is that? 108 plus 108 divided by 177. That's a 610 or 610 winning percentage. That's a nice winning percentage right there. That's pretty good. That'll clinch some. That'll be a playoff spot for sure. But with that said, I'll wrap it up this episode. 33 minutes. That's a good episode. So toodles. Get ready for some playoff football. Get ready for some exciting football. And as I just said, bye-bye, and have a good rest of your day.